How would you like to heal from chronic illness or trauma? In today's episode, Jennifer Germain will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Jennifer is she is a functional medicine health coach, certified personal trainer, and the founder of Compass Health Coaching LLC in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And after overcoming her own diagnosis of inflammatory bowel disease through lifestyle and functional health strategies, she made it her mission to help others take control of their health. So Jennifer, tell us about what is the blueprint for someone to heal from chronic illness or trauma.
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.
So I think one of the best things to start with for a blueprint is definitely mindset. I think one of the biggest keys is to start working on yourself and realizing you know, that you love yourself, and really diving deeper into that really starts to open up the floodgates. And then from there, it's really looking at lifestyle habits. And that can be one of the biggest keys for somebody who does have chronic illness is to say, okay, how can we get started? I think one of the biggest things to start with is that nutrition. So when we start looking at nutrition, that helps with your fuel source. It also helps in so many different ways for your body, depending on what chronic illness you might have. But doing nutrition is definitely one of the biggest keys. So mindset is first, if you can. Sometimes it can go a little backwards. You might start with nutrition and then you start gaining the mindset. But if you do the mindset first, definitely will help all of the other things become easier. And then also working through movement and exercise. For some people, it may take a little bit longer depending on what illness they might have. But really trying to, you know, take into those movement exercises. It may not be the gym, but it may be something where it's just going out and taking a walk. And then, of course, stress management. I know nobody out there has stress, but stress management is one of the biggest keys that we can have in our back pocket, in our blueprint. And then, of course, also sleep. Those big four pillars are one of the biggest keys to helping yourself with chronic illness.
Thank you. So tell us about your own journey of overcoming chronic illness. Tell us more about the mindset. So what would you say is kind of like what led to you getting this chronic illness? And what mindset change did you make in order to overcome it, or at least to feel, you know, to reduce the pain or to reduce the impact of that on your health?
Yeah, so my story really starts actually when I was a child. I was a sugaraholic my whole life. I was known as the candy girl. Pez was my favorite candy. I'm actually kind of surprised that they're still in business after I quit refined sugar about almost 6 years ago. But I, you know, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. You know, I'd had candy my whole life. And I was an athlete, so I thought, hey, if I exercise and stuff, I'll be fine. And through, you know, back in 2020. Was when I started to feel sick. At first, I thought it was food poisoning. And then, you know, and this was May of 2020. So I started to go through the summer, started to get more symptoms. So I was really fatigued, was going to the restroom quite a bit. Didn't know exactly what it was, but me being stubborn, kept pushing through. And then in August, I finally had some other symptoms pop up and I finally went to a physician. They ran some tests. My CRP was through the roof. My SED rate, which are both inflammatory markers, were through the roof. They were three times what they should be. And so they actually even did some blood tests. I was also anemic. So I was put on iron to try to bring that up. My B12 levels were low, but also they did blood tests for like Lyme and then even like Crohn's. All of those came back negative, but they still sent me also for a emergency colonoscopy in early September. And that was when I was diagnosed with inflammatory bowel disease. I had both Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. And from there, I was like, you know, I don't want to be on medications the rest of my life, even though I went to a rheumatologist and he said I would be on biologics the rest of my life. Because I asked him, can I control this through like nutrition and like lifestyle changes? And he's told me no. And I said, well, I'm not going to accept that because I don't want to be on that the rest of my life. So I went to a functional medicine health coach myself and in November. And she put me on what was called the AIP diet or autoimmune protocol diet, which is very strict. It's certain meats, certain fruits and vegetables. You cut out like all spices, except for like salt, but everything else is pretty much down to the bone. And what I realized when I started that was I'd been put on medications to bring down my flare, but when I started the AIP diet, I started feeling better. I lost brain fog I never knew I had. I started getting more energy. I started, gaining just more clarity in what I was doing every day, which I thought, you know, what is this? Why is this so different than what I've been experiencing before? And really it was because I cut out gluten. I cut out all of these things. My body was actually able to start healing itself. And that is what AIP does. It allows your body from that inflammation standpoint to come down and really start to focus. Your immune system can then start functioning the way it's supposed to. Your body loses all of the inflammation. So I was off of sugar. So I started losing weight. I lost 20 pounds when I was sick for 6 months, but then I actually lost another 25 in 6 weeks on the AIP. And that wasn't because I was trying to lose weight. It was just melting off of me. And I was, you know, at a nice healthy weight. I wasn't, you know, starving myself or anything. And then at the end of those 6 weeks, so this was November, mid-November. So I went through Thanksgiving, even went right before Christmas, was when I got my test results, and all my numbers were normal in 6 weeks. And so I was actually, I got off all of my medications within 9 months, and I've not been on them since. I haven't had a flare in 6 years. And I learned that my lifestyle choices that I make every single day impact the way that I feel. And for me, the mindset was when I went to the health coach was I didn't want to live that way anymore. I didn't want to live with pills. I didn't want to live with the possibility of surgeries, the possibility of increased cancer risk, and everything else that came with IBD. So I decided, you know, I love me more than the sugar. I love me more than all of the other decisions I was making. And during my health journey, I found and discovered who I am. And while I was on it, I knew I wanted to help other people because I couldn't keep that secret to myself. And that's why I became a certified functional medicine health coach.
Thank you. Tell me more about the kind of symptoms that you had when you had the chronic illness. You said a brain fog. And what else did you have?
Yeah, so brain fog probably started off first. A lot of fatigue. So I was very, very tired. I also started to develop, I was going to the bathroom, multiple times a day. So it started off with maybe like 6 to 8, and my highest was 22 times in the day. So going that obviously will take a lot out of you. And then throughout that whole time frame, I also started to develop, because my inflammation got so large, was that it radiated throughout my body and actually developed erythema nodules in my arms and in my legs. So it looked like bruising, and even taking a shower, but letting the water hit you was painful. So putting on a shirt, like anything, it felt like somebody was stabbing me when I would take a shower. And I'd be so exhausted after a shower that I would go and lay on my bed for about 20 minutes so I could have enough strength to get dressed. So it's not only the physicality, but also the emotional things that you go through when you have a chronic illness, because really nobody else knew those things. Cause I didn't really want to, you know, at first I wasn't sure what it was, and I didn't really tell anybody because it was like, well, you know, maybe I'm just sick, or maybe, you know, I don't understand what's going on. And again, being stubborn, I didn't ask for help either. But nobody talks about that from a chronic illness standpoint, or the things that you have to go through emotionally, mentally, and physically alone. And I think that's what makes chronic illness such impactful on our lives, and why I try to help as many people as I can to start overcoming that, because I've been there before. I've lived it, and I understand, even though it might not be the same symptoms, but those things matter in your overall health.
Thank you. Tell us more about the mindset that you feel kind of led you to this chronic illness. Was there like a negative belief or a limiting belief, or someone saying something to you that you feel led to you having this chronic illness? And if so, tell us about what you did to change this mindset. Did you start like doing affirmations, or did you start believing in yourself more? Did you start like looking in the mirror and saying, oh my God, I am so hot right now?
It is. Yeah. So growing up and stuff, I think part of it is come from a mindset of feeling like you may not be all of, you know, all of that and a bag of chips kind of thing. You know, you feel like maybe you don't have as high a self-esteem. I mean, I did have good self-esteem, but I think at the time I used like my candy and my stress and emotional eating as a way to cope with some of the things that I wasn't always dealing with emotionally. So I think from that mindset is to realize when we do stuff to our bodies, we don't see it right away. And when I got sick, I saw all of the abuse that I kind of gave my body through the candy choices that I was making and how the sugar was affecting me. And I think part of that came from, I thought, you know, I loved myself, but I don't think I knew how great I could feel without it. I thought it had to be a part of my life, was the sugar and everything else. And I do think it came from a lack of loving who I was as a person and discovering all the parts of me and the things that I would try to hide using it. So whether it would be sugar or even drinking, or I never did like any kind of drugs or anything like that, but maybe not taking care of myself and just realizing that when I was doing that, I was letting myself go to a place that wasn't truly me. And changing that mindset, when I was sitting there and I looked at all the pills that I had to take, and I was like, I don't want to do this. This is not me. This is not who I am. I don't want to rely on these things my whole life, because I know I'm more than this. I can overcome this. And I know that I'm worth more than I think I am, or that I thought I was. And having that mindset to say, I can give up foods, I can give up the sugar that I've had for, you know, 40 plus years of my life, and I'm okay with that, because when I wake up and feel amazing every day, that's worth more than that sugar ever was. And really, when I look back at myself throughout the years, it doesn't always feel like me, because I'm looking at myself from a totally different perspective than what I was before.
Thank you. So for someone who has perhaps a chronic illness that is deemed incurable, mm-hmm. how can they change that mindset to believe that they can be cured, and also to find the strength within themselves to kind of, I don't know, delete the limiting beliefs or the negative beliefs that led them to that point, and to replace them with better, more empowering beliefs and more empowering context, a more empowering environment that will support their healing?
Yeah, so I will tell you, genes are not your destiny. While genetics is about 10%, you have to realize that the choices you make every day impact those genes. So you can turn those things on and off. And that, I think, is the most empowering thing that I started to realize. And that's why I love functional medicine, is because it taught me that, was to say, you have the power to change those things. And, you know, I think coming from that standpoint of chronic illness is to say, you know, I ask my clients many times, what do you love most about yourself? Because that is one of the biggest keys in your health journey, is you can't heal a body that you hate, and you have to love yourself and be honest with yourself and really look at it and say, do you want to feel like this every day? Because you don't have to. I know conventional medicine will say that you do, but a diagnosis doesn't define who you are. You define who you are. And I think that's the biggest mindset shift, is to realize that external entities and external people can try to tell you who you are, but that they don't know you. They aren't with you every single part of the day. You will be with you the rest of your life, 24/7, every second. And for me, it was the choice to say, you know, I'm going to be different from everybody else, because I'm going to have to change things about myself. But that, I was okay with that, because I knew that nobody else was with me when I was sick, when I was, you know, in the shower in pain. Nobody else was there. It was just me. And so to come from that and say, you know what? You have to see the worth and the value that you have in yourself and say, you know what? I am worth changing. I am worth making the changes for, because I want to live my best life. And having that mindset and trying to get rid of those limiting beliefs, I'm not going to lie, it takes work because it's been programmed into your brain. But when you start telling yourself every day, you know what? I love, you know, one of the things that I would do is I'd look myself in the mirror and I'd say, I love you. And really mean it. And I look myself in the eye every day and say, I love you. And really come to know who I was. And I think that's one of the most powerful things about a health journey, is because, yes, it's great to have support and it's great to do it with other people. But a lot of it is that you have to dig down deep inside of you and discover who you are. And sometimes, yeah, I didn't always like what I saw, the things that I saw in myself. Some of that limiting beliefs that I had, like, oh, well, if I didn't do it right, I might fail. And it's like, no, you're still doing something. If you stop, that's when you don't continue to grow. And so having that mindset shift and learning about myself is to say, you know, I can't ever fail when I keep trying. And you just keep going and you just keep pushing through and you pivot when things may not work. And if you do find yourself in those moments where you try to beat yourself up, just take it as a lesson learned. Don't beat yourself up over small things, because those are just the stepping stones to where you can go. Look at it from that positive standpoint and always being grateful. I think that's the biggest thing. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. I was even grateful for being sick, because it helped me bring awareness of what I was doing to my body, and being grateful for healing, because that led me to where I am today. And I feel amazing every single day.
Thank you. How can someone heal from chronic illness or trauma if they have tried hundreds of different methods and they're still in pain and they're still suffering and they've become a little bit hopeless and disappointed with everything?
I would say, I think the biggest shift is that mindset shift and looking for the things that you can be grateful for every single day. I know it sounds crazy, but there is science behind the way that you, when we express more gratitude, our brain actually starts to fire differently and will actually start to become more apt to looking for things that are to be grateful for. And your mind totally starts to shift. And if you actually believe that you can heal, you can. And sometimes it's just finding the right tools to get you there. But your mind is one of the biggest allies for your health, or it could be to your greatest detriment if you don't use it. So if we believe those limiting beliefs, that will keep you trapped. But if you say, you know what, there is hope, because there, you know, the human body has 37 trillion cells. I don't know who counted all those cells, but they said that we have 37 trillion. And the thing of that is that every single one of those cells listens to your thoughts and listens to what you say about yourself. And if somebody tells you something negative, do you feel good about that? No. So if we talk about ourselves negatively, in a negative perspective, what do you think those cells think? Because they help power you every day. So I would say, don't feel hopeless, because there are things that you can do. And making lifestyle changes and changing that mindset and saying, you know what, I can heal. There have been stories out there of people healing from all kinds of different chronic. Mine is not the only one. There are lots out there. So maybe finding some of those stories and saying, you know what? Okay, this person healed from this. This person healed from this. This person healed from this. Because they are out there. So don't ever give up hope, because there's always a chance as long as you keep looking and keeping grateful for all the things that are going well in your life. And you will actually start to see more and more things to be grateful for.
Thank you. Tell us about alternative healing gadgets or hacks that you have used that are a little bit out of the ordinary, but they have perhaps worked for you to heal from chronic illness or trauma.
So one of the things that I actually just recently found that helped me improve even more was I started drinking raw milk kefir. So for years, I've been using like more of the synthetic, like probiotics, like things that you get off the shelf and stuff. And then I read this article saying about how raw milk has different properties and stuff in there. It has the enzymes. But when you do a kefir, it's the fermentation, and it has like trillions of bacteria in there. So I was like, you know what? I've been dairy free for quite a number of years. And so it was a little bit scary for me to try, but I did. And honestly, it's the best probiotic I've ever had in my life. Even better than the ones that I had gotten from the doctor's office and everything else. It has really healed my gut in a way that I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I drink it every day. I don't miss it. And it's great tasting, but it also gives my gut the boost that it needs. And that was one thing that people would be like, oh, stay away from raw milk. And I was like, these are good tips. Now, of course, if you are a little bit lactose intolerant, you want to be a little bit careful. But I've even heard of stories for people who are lactose intolerant. The raw milk can actually be beneficial because it has those enzymes that help you digest things. Some of the other stuff that I've used was also doing like some red light therapy and some sauna, as well as cold plunging. Not everybody wants to stick themselves in a tub that's like 44 degrees. But honestly, it was one of the things that helped me to hone in on myself, because when you're in those moments, you can, you know, you're sitting in a tub of cold water, you have to hone in on how your body's feeling, and you can feel everything in there. So going from that cold to the heat really helped with the cold shock proteins, and then the heat shock proteins in my body to help with inflammation. As well, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that I've used in the past. Of course, I've used like some creatine, some supplements here or there to help give me the boost that I need because of my absorption issues and stuff that I've had with Crohn's. But I have had two colonoscopies since, and there has not been one speck of Crohn's in my intestinal tract at all. So what I do every day helps to make that healing, and I haven't taken like any medications or anything like that in over about 5 years.
Thank you. I'm suffering from sore throat, definitely chronic, and I have a very puffy face for many years. And for the last, I would say 1.5 years, I have black eyes, you know, like black eyes around here, and I don't know what's causing it. And I'm wondering about, are there any particular strategies that you have to reduce inflammation in the body that have worked for you and that you generally recommend for some of the clients that you work with?
Yeah, so I found this viral, and it's probably like a viral drink, but I use that for inflammation. So it has like a whole lemon with some water, raw honey, some extra virgin olive oil in it, and then some ginger. Ginger is great for inflammation, so is turmeric. You just have to be a little bit more careful with the turmeric volume-wise. But that's great for inflammation, and I drink that. That actually helped me with my allergies, which I don't have anymore, and I used to have really bad allergies back in the day. For the past few years, I don't really, you know, I might sneeze here or there, but I used to get like watery eyes, runny nose, and everything else. I will say raw honey is probably one of the best things that you can do, especially for your throat, because of the different enzymes and stuff like that in there. So I do raw honey. There's manuka honey as well. That can help with inflammation. But I think ginger is one of the better ones. Black seed oil is also good for different, to help with different overall inflammation and issues. I have taken that as well. I would sometimes put that in my lemon drink. You just want to take that with fat, because it's a fat soluble. So you want to have like a carrier oil. And that's where I had like the extra virgin olive oil. In that, but I also do coconut oil. So one of the things that I did stop doing to help with my gut microbiome, because we have an oral microbiome, is I stopped using traditional mouthwash, and I use coconut pulling, oil pulling. So I do that every day, and that helps to clean out the bad bacteria in your mouth and leaves all the good bacteria. So it helps strengthen your teeth. It also strengthens your gums and helps with whitening. But that coconut oil can also be good for women's hormones. It can help with inflammation and stuff as well. I use it for different, like if I get a cut or something like that, it's antibacterial, antifungal. So those are just some of the things that I use. And also colloidal silver. So you could even try like a little bit of a colloidal silver for your throat. Doing that a little bit could even help with some of the sore throat there as well.
Thank you. Tell us more about the mouth hygiene and reducing bacteria. Mm-hmm. Is that the only thing that you recommend for someone to optimize their mouth, the breath, and their bacteria to reduce the risk of getting a chronic illness like sore throat?
Well, yeah, you can use the coconut oil. I've heard of people using also like extra virgin olive oil. I tend to go with coconut. I don't think it's as pungent when you're switching that around, but I do that for like about 10 minutes. Also using a good toothpaste. I don't use any of the regular market brands anymore because I use the fluoride. I do use one that has like hydroxyapatite in it, which is like remineralization for your teeth, which can be very helpful. But that gut bacteria is very important too, because we think of digestion starting down in our stomachs, but it really starts in our mouth. And so if it's too acidic and we're getting too many cavities and things of that nature, you want to make sure that you're doing things that can bring that down, because you want that pH level to be like even Steven, because when there's acid in there, that's where all those bad bugs can start growing. And that's where you get like plaques, gingivitis, like all of these different issues in your mouth. And it is a gateway to the rest of your body. So if you think about it, it goes down to your digestion, but it's also, you know, your teeth are living things. They have blood vessels and stuff that go to them. They have nerve endings. Obviously, if you've ever had to go to a dentist and they didn't use Novocaine, you would feel the pain. So making sure that you're taking care of that microbiome in there is very important. I would say you could also use like a sea salt rinse as well. That can help bring down that pH balance too. Even a little bit of colloidal silver. I've used that before for some to clean some teeth and things of that nature. So you just take a little bit of that and put it in and rinse it. And then obviously with the salt water rinse, that can be very helpful to take out any of the bad. I would use a really organic, clean sea salt as much as possible. But those are some of the things that I've used oral microbiome wise that have been improvements. Because, yeah, again, I was a candy girl. So I had, back in the day, I had lots of fillings and things of that nature. And now I try to keep my mouth as clean as it can be. And if you do the coconut oil, that helps. But eating a better diet goes immeasurably, can help with that for fresher breath, as well as for that oral microbiome, because you're not putting in as much sugar and stuff like that. So when you have a healthier nutrition pattern as well, that can contribute to your oral microbiome too.
Thank you. Tell us about gut health, because I suffer from acne as well and leaky gut. And is there a way to balance the health of the gut so that you optimize your entire health and your energy and reduce the likelihood of getting getting a chronic illness?
Yeah. So yeah, gut health, I will tell you, gut is connected to just about everything. About 70% of your immune system is in your gut. You make many of your neurotransmitters. So your neurotransmitters are chemical messengers that are made in your gut and that actually travel up your vagus nerve to your brain. So we think, oh, everything happens up here. It's not the case. Much of it happens in our gut. And so the healthier that your gut is, the better overall mood you're going to have, the better mental health you're going to have, and the better energy, because you're going to help that immune system to be built. So the way to keep from dysbiosis as much in the gut is to feed the gut bacteria. You have good and then you have bad. And you want to reduce that bad bacteria as much as possible so that you have the good in there so it flourishes. So really looking at cutting out as much sugar as you can, especially refined sugar. Doesn't mean you can't have maybe like some coconut sugar or something like that. It's a little bit lower on the glycemic index. But cutting out refined sugar was one of the biggest things that I did for my gut health because it can cause some really inflammation markers in that gut health area. Plus, it feeds that bad bacteria. So many of us think, oh, when I want something sweet, it's because I don't have willpower and it's what I want. That's not the case. The gut microbes in your intestinal tract, if they are the bacteria that want sugar, they will actually tell your brain, you have a neural network on top of your gut that talks to your brain more than your brain talks to your gut, and tells your brain, look for sugar, I'm hungry. So those microbes are actually telling your brain to feed you sugar. So the more you get sugar out of your diet, the easier it's going to be. And that gut bacteria will disappear and the good will stay. And so when you have the good in there, you don't have the cravings for sugar. You don't have that, oh, where's something sweet? You will actually start to, you know, crave more like, oh, I could go for a blueberry, you know, smoothie or something like that. With that gut bacteria, one of the other things that I cut out was regular gluten. The gluten here in the U.S. is not the same as it is in other parts of the world, as well as having been sprayed with glyphosate. So if you are going to eat bread, I would always suggest that you do organic that does not have any glyphosate residue, because that glyphosate, the way that it is used, it is sprayed on the wheat to dry it out. And what is glyphosate? It's Roundup weed killer. So if we put that into our gut, what's that going to do to those bugs in the gut? It's going to create problems. It's going to wipe out the good bacteria. And that actually helps to increase dysbiosis. So the more that you can get away from some of that, the better your gut health is going to be. And some people with dairy might have some problems with that. So that can also cause inflammation as well. So if you do find that you have some issues with dairy, I would say that you would want to cut, you know, some of that out, or find alternatives that work better for you. But it also matters on the dairy too, the quality. What I have found is that doing more of like the raw milk kefir with the fermentation and stuff works for me. Other people, it could regular A2 milk could work for them. But I would always try to go for organic as much as possible just to keep out any pesticides and herbicides. Because again, when those are introduced into your gut microbiome, excuse me, that can cause problems. Because again, what are all of those chemicals created to do? Take away microbes and everything else. If we have that gut microbiome and we're eating those things, that's going to impact our guts in a major, major way.
Thank you. How can someone reduce body odor? And I'm talking from like a mouth odor under armpits and like, you know, a vaginal kind of odors. Because, you know, sometimes you meet these people and then it's like, it's unclear whether they actually don't wash. And some people do wash, but they just mm-hmm. have this odor that is permeating and they can't seem to get rid of it. So how does someone like that get rid of body odor?
I would suggest really paring down their nutrition. I would say probably almost doing like a little bit of an elimination diet to try to see what foods might be triggering them. So you would pare it down. I wouldn't say they'd have to do AIP. AIP is a little bit more stricter than even elimination. But I would say doing something similar to an elimination diet where you're taking some of those foods that might be more odor causing. I will tell you, processed foods are going to definitely do it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have processed food, you're going to have it because it's just the way that the body, if you think about it, your body's trying to get rid of the toxins that are being put in there. So when you read some of those processed labels that you don't even understand the words on, how's your body going to be able to detoxify that? So when we're looking at odor and things of that nature, I would say the more that you can be on a whole foods diet, the better you're going to be. So that would be like step number one. And then step number two would be to say, okay, looking at how your body reacts to those different foods once you reintroduce them. If you start to notice something, that might be to say, okay, if I have a sensitivity to this or my body's really not seeing this as positive but sees it as a negative, maybe that's something I only eat on occasion or maybe not at all, depending on how my body reacts, because everybody's body's different. So my diet won't work for everybody else, but this is where that personalization comes into play is to, I would also say from a personal care perspective and not just nutrition, is I would not use many of the branded chemical products out there because so many of them actually hurt your body more than help. So whenever we put lotions or sprays, colognes, whatever on our body, it goes into our bloodstream within 26 seconds. So that's going in and your liver has to filter all of those out. So some of what we're putting onto our body can actually start being the things that create those odors and we just don't realize it. So I would even say to detoxify yourself from some of those, maybe get some natural, like I have a beef tallow goat kefir soap that I get from a small business down in Florida. So I changed my personal care products as well to take away the chemicals from me, you know, going into my skin that way.
Thank you. How can someone get rid of recurring candida?
So recurring candida, that can be a little tricky because of, I would say definitely cutting out sugar as much as possible because that's going to keep feeding it. So I think one of the biggest things is to get rid of that. I would suggest doing something like an AIP for that, just so that you can take your body down to the bare bones. Some things that can help with overall gut health is to help nourish the gut lining. So things that can help with that would be like a good beef or a chicken bone broth, and not just like a bouillon cube, but actual bone broth, because that has healing collagen in it. It also helps with the gut lining. Things that you could also do would be something like, things like slippery elm can be helpful for some people to help with that intestinal tract. Again, it goes back to what are we feeding the gut? What are we putting into the body? Why does it keep recurring? And that would be something I would think you would want a couple different tests on blood work wise. You would want to check out like some of your immunoglobulin cells, as to understand as to why it keeps reoccurring, what's in there or what's missing to keep you from getting, you know, back to better health, what's being added or what's being subtracted. Because one of the things I read a study the other week about gut health when people have antibiotics, And one of the biggest things that was alarming to me was that in the study that they realized that some people, when they take a round of antibiotics, is that their gut health may never return to what it was. And that's kind of alarming if we think about it, because whenever we take antibiotics, then that means that we're shifting our gut all the time. And those microbes. So our body is shifting each time we get a round of antibiotics. So if you are on antibiotics, I would always say make sure you're taking a probiotic to keep that your good bacteria flourishing. Don't wait till after. Just keep taking it if you're on an antibiotic, because that can be a bigger problem, because we're cutting out all those microbes. And they really, really do help us break down foods, help us with our neurotransmitters in so many different ways. And I think the revealing research that keeps coming out is that our gut microbiome is so critical to our overall health.
Thank you. A lot of trauma is actually triggering chronic illness. How can someone manage that and even understand and be aware that this is actually the case? What I'm talking about is, for example, I noticed that in a previous relationship, my ex used to shout a lot. And every time he was shouting, I would get triggered and I would get angry. And then I would notice that I was getting migraines every day and sore throat. And for example, now I'm in this like warm country. I don't have a partner and I'm walking around, you know, in the sun and I'm swimming. So like, I don't have as much of a sore throat and I don't have a migraine every day. Like, how can someone become aware of the triggers that are causing trauma and then in turn causing chronic illness and remove those kind of triggers?
Yeah, so I think we don't always account for like the emotional traumas and stuff that we go through. And one of the things that I realized just from my own health journey, it was the way that I handled emotion, is that I would just stuff everything and be like, oh, everything's fine. And I just stuff it down. So what happened was, it manifested in me in my intestinal tract. So when we don't work through the emotional trauma, it will manifest in different ways. So in our body, we actually have what's called fascial tissue. And the fascial tissue is almost like, if you think of it like a webbing, and it's like water crystals in there, and structured water. And I don't know if you've ever heard, there was a professor in Japan who had his students work with bottles of water and to see if water could hold energy. And what happened was, so on one side in the bottles, they had his students, they talked really sweetly to the bottled water and said, I love you, you're amazing, you're beautiful, all of these lovely things to the bottles of water. On the other side, on the other bottles, they said mean, hateful things to them. So then they froze the water. They put it under an electron microscope, and the water that had all the negative things said to it looked awful. There was like shards. It didn't have any shapes. It looked ugly. And then the water that did was talked to kindly had beautiful geometric patterns and like snowflakes. So what this tells us is that water holds energy. And basically, our body is energy. And so if our body is about 60 to 70% water, what does that say about what we're holding? If we have negative things being said to us, if we're getting shouted at, if we're getting, you know, yelled at it for different things, or if we're holding in some of that trauma, it's going to manifest within our body in one form or another. And everybody's body will do it differently, but it will still manifest in those ways. So I think one of the ways to really help with trauma is if there is somebody that you can talk to work through that, then that's great. If you can't, then I would suggest finding time for yourself and starting to really look at how you handle emotion, and maybe just sitting with open-ended questions saying, how do I process when so-and-so yells at me? What do I feel? What happens to my body? And actually write those things down. The more that you can self-discover, the better equipped you are to start handling things. And then, of course, you know, realizing that our body doesn't live in a vacuum. You know, the heart talks to other parts of our body just as much as the brain talks to it. All of our cells talk to each other. And like I said before, our body listens to everything that we say, but it also listens to what other people say around us about us. So if we stay in that environment, that, like you said, you are no longer in that relationship. You've gone out of that, and now you're seeing less of what you had before. And that's because the body is no longer triggered because of those external factors. And it kind of goes back to that adage of the goldfish can't live in dirty water, the same water that it made it sick. You have to switch the water. You have to change the environment. So coming up, you know, everybody's journey might be different, but having some of those tools to say, okay, is this a situation I can take myself out of? And if it's not, then to say, okay, what are the things that I can do to help create a different mechanism in response to the things that are around me? Because our minds, the narratives we tell ourselves, it can either build us or destroy us. And if we build ourselves up and understand that we have the power to create the reality that we want, that in and of itself empowers us, and then we can see a better life around us.
Thank you. How can a woman with a small baby or a perimenopausal or a menopausal woman that is struggling to sleep, how can they find a way to get the kind of routine sleep that is required in order to be healed and to be balanced?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question, because I think that's one of the harder ones, especially for women, new moms especially, but for women in perimenopause and menopause, because of the way that the hormones leave us. And because that can be very challenging for many women, I think one of the things that can be very helpful, again, this depends individuals, it depends on how your body responds to things, but I do find adaptogens can be very helpful. So things like reishi, things like that. You could also use things like ashwagandha. You know, I'm not as big into like using a lot of melatonin, but I would say first and foremost, make sure you're getting your circadian rhythm into practice. So in your morning, you want to start off with some sunlight in your eyes. Don't look at your phone first. You want to go out and get some sunlight in there. Yeah, put the phone, because the phone can actually trigger like cortisol. So you'll start that cycle in the morning. That blue light from that phone signals to your brain it's a different part of the day. So what I would say is don't look at the phone right away. If you have to do for your alarm, turn it off. Don't scroll. Don't look at stuff. Go outside and get morning sunlight, because that morning sunlight is going to start to help secrete melatonin throughout your day. It's going to start it. So try to get it before 10 o'clock, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Don't stare at the sun, but get out in the sunlight. Then the next thing I would say is trying to make sure that you have a good routine bedtime. So if you can get up at the same time every day and go to bed at the same time every night, that can be very helpful, especially in the perimenopausal, menopausal phases, because it helps to build a little bit more routine, where in perimenopause, especially, everything is getting more chaotic inside hormonally. Making sure you're not looking at blue light in the evenings before you go to bed, because that signals, that blue light makes your body think that it's mid-afternoon. It's not full spectrum light. So you want to try to maybe do a little bit of red light therapy that can help at night. So turning on some red lights to help your body start to realize that, okay, we're winding down for the night. You want to sleep in a room that's probably, I would say, maybe like mid-60s. So you're not too hot, you're not too cold, you're just right. And dark. So the less light in there, the better, as dark as you can get it. Because if you have any light coming in, it's going to signal to your brain that it's morning, and it'll wake up the pineal and pituitary, and it'll get you up. So you want to try to sleep in as much darkness as you can. And really, you know, some of the things that I do as a woman is that sometimes if I know that I've had a kind of a more stressful day, is I drink like a reishi hot cocoa at night. And who doesn't love hot cocoa? So I get that from like Four Sigmatic, and it doesn't have like any sugar or anything in there. So it's not like a Swiss Miss. So it's not going to have sugar in it, but that's going to help. That reishi is a mushroom that helps for calming and relaxing. It's not a sedative or anything like that, but it's just going to help relax you a little bit. And I also do take some magnesium glycinate, because that can be helpful with calming you down and helping you sleep throughout the night as that glycinate is going through your body. Because magnesium is very critical for over 300 processes in the body. So, and most people are deficient in it. So making sure that you have a good magnesium at night can be very helpful as well.
Thank you. Lastly, tell us briefly about what kind of movement should someone engage in when they have chronic illness that tends to prevent them from doing it? Because I had, I'm a very sporty person, okay? And I look like I don't exercise, but I really do. Like, I can walk 10 kilometers or 20 kilometers, no problem. Mm-hmm. I can swim for an hour or two, again, no problem. I can do 100 sit-ups and 100 squats, again, no problem. I can play tennis, but I would say most people are not as sporty as me, right? And I dance. But when I had migraine, I didn't feel like doing anything. Although, I mean, mm-hmm. I was still walking, but it was like so painful. So like, how can someone engage in movement when they have chronic illness that makes them feel like, oh my God, I cannot even think of exercising?
Yeah. And I understand that because exercise, you know, when I was feeling exhausted and worn out, it was like, oh my God, what can I do? And I think walking is a great way to get started, even if it's, even chores around your house can count as movement. I know they're not fun, but like even like folding the laundry, standing and folding the laundry, you know, moving a box from over here to over there. As long as you're moving and not just not sitting like all day or laying all day, it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm pushing, you know, 50 pounds here or taking it here. It's really, especially in those chronic illness phases, as much movement as you can get in that's not going to cause you too much pain. So whether that's walking, maybe going to sit outside. One thing we didn't talk about that would be really great for chronic pain is earthing and grounding. And that was one thing I forgot to say. For chronic pain, it is wonderful. I know some people may say, oh, Jen, it's just putting your feet in the dirt. There's science behind it, so look that up. Earthing takes away inflammation, so that is a wonderful way. So even if you go walk outside, put your feet in the ground and sit there, or just walk around in the yard for a little bit, that can be very helpful and very healing because you actually take the charge inside your body discharges into the earth and you actually take up the electrical charge of the earth, which helps to reduce inflammation. So that is one of the things that you can do and just walk around barefoot outside. Believe it or not, I even do it sometimes in the winter. I'll dig out a path and do it in the wintertime if I start to feel like I'm not feeling so well or something along those lines, or I need a little bit of a boost or inflammation-wise. Those are one of the tricks that I would do. But going for just a short walk or just getting up, maybe doing like a couple squats if you're able to. If you can't do that, maybe just sitting in a chair and moving your arm, like picking up like a jug or something like that that's not too heavy. But even just doing some of those movements or getting like a band, even doing some of those movements with a band, something just to get those muscles moving so they're not going to atrophy. And plus they will put out good myokines from your muscles. So that's going to help with healing. It's going to help with overall health. So doing something like that can be very beneficial.
Thank you. Tell us where people can connect with you.
Yeah, so they can find me obviously on my website at compasshealthcoachingllc.com, but they can also go on to Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Compass Health Coaching LLC and follow me on there. And, I look forward to talking with people and connecting.
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrasco shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.